I'm going to be optimistic here. I'm going to go 69 and 93.
Nice.
Thanks.
Can I get a
podcast? Welcome, everybody, to Can I Get a Podcast? Another episode coming your way. I'm Chris Gross. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. What's up, Jeffrey?
What's up?
Things are good.
Good. We took a bit of a break because you had some important things to tend to.
Yes, and we'll talk about that later in the show.
Okay.
So we've got
sounds good.
Big stuff to talk about coming up later in the show. But tomorrow, the baseball season officially begins. Opening day, less than 24 hours away as we record this podcast on Wednesday evening. And we thought, who better to come and join us to preview the Rangers season than the host of the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. You can hear it on KESN1033.com. It's Taylor Phillips. What's up, Taylor?
Hey, Chris. Hey, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me on, guys. I'm a big fan of the podcast, so I'm glad I actually get to be a part of it.
Oh, yeah, of course. We love bringing on our fans.
I think this is our first fan that's ever joined the podcast. That's really good to hear.
I was there day one when you guys were talking about the possibility of Luka Doncic coming to Dallas and DeAndre Jordan free agency.
I don't even remember that.
Back in the beginning of last summer, I was there for day one listening to it up here in the studio.
It is going to be great. We are closing in on the one-year anniversary of the podcast. I have a feeling we're going to have a big blowout pod.
A huge blowout pod.
You guys can revisit some of the old topics, like will Luka Doncic make it in Dallas, and DeAndre Jordan is going to be a pillar for the organization.
But the one we have to revisit is who's going to be killed at the end of the year.
We do have to talk about that one. Yes, that was one of our more fun discussions, but guys, we're going to talk about the Rangers, and don't tune out because I know the Rangers are going to be bad, but we're going to talk about some fun stuff, and we got to talk, Taylor, we've got to get to this. You had a special day at the ballpark earlier this week.
Oh, did you go, Taylor?
I went there
to the food expo?
We'll get to his day at the food tasting, but I want to start here first with a Rangers win prediction. This is Baseball Prospectus's...
We'll go with
it. Is that saying right?
Yeah. All right.
Their PECOTA projection. The PECOTA is player empirical comparison and optimization test algorithm that takes a player's past performance and tries to project the most likely outcome. According to the PECOTA projections, the Rangers will finish the season with a 70-92 record. That's 22 games.
I believe that is what they finished with last year.
I don't know what they finished
last year. They were 67-95.
Okay, so uptick from last year. That's pretty impressive. So, Taylor, we'll just throw it to you here first. What kind of season do you see ahead for the Rangers?
You know, I've saw another one as well with, I believe it was Bovada had them at 71 wins. So that's pretty similar to that projection as well. And I kind of see it around there, but I'm going to kind of tend to go lower than that. And I've said that on the first episode of my podcast where I had them pegged as around 67-66, just like last year. I think there's definitely more to look forward to from the pitching side of things because it was getting pretty rough last year when you're seeing Drew Hutchison and Ariel Jurado, and it wasn't there. Martin Perez was so wishy-washy and then just went bad at the end. Now, they don't have Cole Hamels. Season 2 of Mike Minor in the starting role, he's the ace now. That's going to be to see how he handles that role as the number one top guy.
Can we call him an ace?
This team, unfortunately, yes. Mike Minor is the ace, but they've made some moves there with the starting pitching rotation that, to me, didn't strike me as much. I've heard other people around the industry say that they are a little more higher on this rotation than I am just because of the possible upside with guys like Drew Smyly and Shelby Miller, who it's been a few years that they've done anything, and they've had Tommy John surgeries, and they're pretty much reclamation projects at this point. I mean, gee, Shelby Miller and Jeffrey, you know, you're a big baseball fan too. This was a guy who was factoring very heavily into the Cardinals' plans in the 2012-2013.
Yes, no, absolutely. Shelby Miller was dirty back in the day. I mean, I believe he did pitch against the Rangers in the 2011 World Series as a reliever.
I think you might be right.
So, Shelby, or maybe that was Lance Lynn. I know one of them
Lance Lynn was definitely there. Shelby Miller, I think he might have started in 2012, but okay. he was already on the rise,
though. I think it was Lance Lynn who I was talking about. But yes, all of these guys have had major shoulder and or elbow surgeries to begin with. If they reach their full potential as pitchers, which I don't think is going to happen, but if they reach their full potential, it could be an okay rotation. I'm not going to say it's going to blow anybody out of the water, but
yeah, I've heard some people saying they're projecting this. If all things go right, this could be a playoff team, a wild card team. I don't see that. I'm not seeing it for this team. This is a rotation that, like, 4 or 5 years ago, this is a really good rotation.
Even similar to 2013,
I would be saying World Series Texas Rangers.
You would, but it's like you said, Jeffrey. I don't know what to expect because this is like your Tommy John rotation. You have so many guys coming off serious surgery or had it in the past. I just don't know what to expect. And to me, it's the potential doesn't outweigh the risk of what could just be really bad starts and really bad baseball.
The thing that kind of gives me some optimism, though, is I think the Rangers have built their bullpen to be able to go longer innings because they know that these guys are going to be on pitch counts, then they're going to be on innings limits. So the Rangers bullpen, while it may not be all that talented, I think it is built to have that multiple inning dynamic to it.
Which was made the whole not having Jason Hamill around decision really kind of hurt them, because I figured that's where he was going to factor, being that long man, long relief guy. And he just decided to retire as soon as he made the roster, which was kind of a weird thing. You go through spring training hoping to get that last roster spot, and then he got it, and he's like, you know what,
I'm good. He's just like, yeah, I'm done.
I'm good. And then with the bullpen also, Jose LeCourc last year really came on the scene.
Oh, man.
They signed him to that extension, and look, if people weren't paying attention to that Ranger team, I understand the end of last year, whenever they made that Keone Kella trade and sent him to Pittsburgh, it became Jose LeCourc's closer job, and he assumed it perfectly. He had a great second half of the year. I was there with our coworker Saad Youssef in the press box and in the locker room after that first closing opportunity he had when they were playing the Orioles after the All-Star break. And you could just hear when he was talking about it, he was so ready for it, and he was ready for the opportunity. He didn't seem he was going to be fazed by the big moment. And the question is, will they have many save opportunities for him to have this year? That's a whole different topic, he's ready for it.
I don't think I'm going to win this battle, but I'll preach this until I 100% lose it. Your best reliever should not be constrained to one inning.
And I agree. I think we are moving into a place where you shouldn't be a designated closer. I think the smart managers are getting to where if our high leverage situation is seventh inning with one out, we bring in LeClerc there. And if he doesn't close out the game for us, that's fine. Because what happens if you get roughed up that inning? Right. It doesn't mean anything. Or you may get to the ninth inning and you don't get a single base runner. You don't have to worry about anything.
And I think Chris Woodward is more open to having that kind of role for LeClerc that Bannister might have been, but I don't think right away they want to keep LeClerc in that ninth inning, keep him comfortable.
Let's talk a little bit about that. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Garros. This is Can I Get a Podcast, joined by Taylor Phillips, host of the Rangers Wrap-Up
also
Podcast.
Also known as TP.
Also known as TP. He's our guy there. You can follow him on Twitter at TPhillipsSports. I highly recommend doing that.
That's where I am now. I'm notorious for changing the Twitter handle.
After like four or five changes.
That's like his fourth Twitter change in the last year.
Oh, yeah. I've settled on T. Phillips Sports.
So rookie manager Chris Woodward stepping in after the exit of Jeff Bannister. And everything we heard about Bannister last year was just the inability to communicate roadblocks in communication between Bannister and the players. And I never really had any bad feelings about Jeff Bannister. I was really excited about him when he first came, however long ago that was. But
2015.
You could tell by the end of his tenure there that it just wasn't working. And you needed to try something new. You needed to try something fresh. And Jeffrey, like you mentioned, I think Chris Woodward was the guy that they needed. Evan Grant wrote about it this morning. He says, one thing you notice just from watching them out there in spring training was everybody seemed happy.
Yes, everyone just seems happier. They seem like they're in a better mood. They seem like they know exactly what their roles and responsibilities are. And that's something that, you know, those guys didn't know. The guys last year just weren't taking to Bannister and his message, and it was time to make a change. And Woodward, coming from the Dodgers, coming from a very forward-thinking organization, I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air for the Rangers this year.
With Woodward, that it struck me the most is how he wasn't really emphasizing that this needs to be like, okay, we're going to do things my way. We're going to do things. We're going to win. You kind of hear new coaches or new managers in any sport talk about how the fans aren't going to have to suffer for long. And he made it known kind of quickly that this is going to be kind of a rebuilding. It's going to be learning things and getting these players comfortable with building the right habits. And that was one thing he preached in his press conference when he first came to Arlington, and I was there watching him and John Daniels talk, and they weren't giving off any vibes that this is going to be the missing piece, like a manager change was going to send them to the postseason. That wasn't the vibe they were giving at all. And really, what you guys are talking about with his approach and being, frankly, just more of a better communicator and maybe all around friendlier. You know, Bannister's a pretty intense guy. He was, you could tell in his press conferences that he was somebody who lived and died each pitch. And I'm not saying Chris Wilbert's not like that. You got to care to be successful in the sport, but you can get the vibe from Chris Wilbert. He's a little more loose about it. And he already had to get tested early with Willie Calhoun and that roster decision and all the reports from spring training and all following him to Nashville. Willie Calhoun wasn't happy that he didn't make the major league roster. And that was him and John Daniels' first new test under this new regime. How are you going to handle someone who was highly touted in the Yu Darvish trade and hasn't really factored heavily into the major league team's plans in the last season or two? Okay, Hunter Pence is on the roster. Willie Calhoun's going to Nashville. Willie Calhoun didn't want to go to Nashville. Now you got to put out that fire to make sure, one, the team isn't disrupted by this, and two, you're keeping Willie Calhoun's spirits high for whenever he is ready to come to the major leagues. He's not just mentally shot.
The way I look at that situation is I don't think Hunter Pence took Willie Calhoun's spot. I think it's Shin-Soo Choo that is taking Willie Calhoun's spot.
They needed a right-handed bat.
Yes, they needed the right-handed bat to come off the bench and be able to platoon. Choo is making so much money that they can't get rid of him. And I think if Choo weren't on this roster, Willie Calhoun would be in that DH slash occasional outfield slash middle of the lineup role, because that's what he is.
I want to talk about Willie Calhoun, but the way I kind of look at the Woodward thing is just playing for a guy that you want to play for. And I don't know if it equates to five extra wins during the season, but everybody's had this kind of experience at some point in their life where you have a boss you don't like working for, a guy that you don't want to interact with, a guy that I don't even know, some people may be scared of interacting with. You have that fear. I mean, you don't want to be in that work environment. And how often does having someone like that who's your superior, you're like, man, I really don't want to be at work today, but I have to be here. I'm not going to put in all that effort.
Right.
And like I said, I don't think it's going to equate to wins, but it does mean something when you're in this grind where you have that 20 games in 20 days stretch where, you know, the baseball season, you are in and out of it every single day. I think this is going to play a pretty big role, having a guy in there who's less confrontational or less difficult as a manager.
Sure, sure. I think the mutual trust between Woodward and the players will go a long way. I think Levi Weaver wrote an article in The Athletic either yesterday or the day before where he was talking about Delino DeShields and how Woodward says once he gains his trust, you know, all the chains are going to be off. Delino's going to have the green light to run whenever he wants when he gets on base and uses his athleticism. And I guess for whatever reason, in the last coaching regime, Delino felt that he couldn't do that and that there were restraints on him. So it's good to see already right away that Woodward's trusting the guys and the guys are trusting Woodward to get the best out of them.
Yeah, Delino DeShields definitely one of those guys who had some injuries last year and he was looking okay and then the bat would go away and part of that injuries, he got hit in the hand early last season. So that kind of took away from some of his building on the plate. But a couple other guys, Nomar Mazara, now the splits against left-handers were a little better last year, but now his fielding's being called into question. There's been a lot written about that this offseason where he needs to build up his fielding ability to not be as much of a liability out in right field. Joey Gallo, the batting average went down after a year before. So getting that batting average up to where I know he's going up against the shift all the time, so he's having some hits robbed from him, but you know, there's
band
plenty
shifts.
Yeah, well,
I'm kidding.
That's a whole different podcast. I'm gonna fight you on that one to the death.
I'm kidding.
But with Joey Gallo though, you can hit 40 home runs and you're hitting 201 or whatever. There are guys in baseball that can do that, and a lot of those guys don't have jobs anymore because that's just not the way the game is trended anymore. So with Joey Gallo, obviously, you want the power to stay there, and he did lead the team in homers. I believe he led the team in RBIs, too. Some
and
growth
an OPS.
There. In OPS. So the growth there from getting that average up, which is, you know, now we're a couple years into having that conversation. He's still a good fielder, though. I mean, he's a good backup center fielder for Delino DeShields, too. And this was a guy who came up as a third baseman and has turned into a solid outfielder. And then Rougned Odor, first half of last year, wasn't great. Turned it around the second half. Can he piece together a full season as well? Because he can do it with the glove at times. He also can really struggle with the glove at times. He can hit for power and hit great, and he can also really struggle and swing at bad pitches. So getting a full, consistent year of Rougned Odor at second base is also key to them.
I'm Chris Gross with Jeffrey Cooperstein. This is Can I Get a Podcast? We're joined by Taylor Phillips talking Rangers baseball. All those are going to be guys that I'm interested to watch this season. Mazara, Gallo, Odor, all guys who you would like to see take a step. And with Gallo, it's interesting because we, who is going to be facing the shift, you'd like to see, look, people have got to get over the batting average thing.
Yes.
With him, it's
the batting
just,
average does not matter.
It's just not going to be there for him. And if that's something that you're looking for, you're just going to frustrate yourself with Joey Gallo. Gallo's going to be a guy who you're looking at that raw power, you're looking for the home runs, you're looking for the more statistical, whether it's on base percentage or like Jeffrey said, the OPS, that's really what you need to be more focused on. But Gallo does need to take a step this season. And part of it for me is it's kind of taking what teams give you, but you don't want to play into this bunt single type thing, because if I'm an opposing team, if I get Joey Gallo to bunt, it's a win, whether he's on base or not.
I think he needs to have that in his arsenal, at least to just keep teams honest, to know that he will do it, that yeah. he will bunt it down the third base line. Because some people shift him so hard to where like the closest person to the third base to third base is like over the second base. It's like over second.
Yeah.
That was really bad the way I said that. But you know what I'm saying.
We understand.
Yes. So if Gallo can get that in his repertoire, that would be a lot. That would benefit him a lot.
And yeah, batting average is a bit of a somewhat antiquated way to look at successive hitters, because you guys know you can bunt for a single, you can hit a hard rope to right field and it gets caught and it counts differently in the scorebook. But still, we're talking about most batters in baseball. If I say someone's a 230 hitter, you just kind of shrug and go, all right, he's okay or below average of a hitter. But when you're talking about somebody hitting in around 200, I don't care who you are, what the shift situations are, you got to have a higher batting average than that. I don't expect Joey Gallo to be a 280 hitter by any means. Yeah. That kind of jumps to unrealistic. The key with him also, their strikeouts can be an issue with him too that's affecting that batting average. And that was one thing that was written about in spring training. His chase percentage went down. He's not swinging at bad pitches as much. That spring training, let's see how it translates to the regular season. But if you can at least have smarter at-bats, and there's a couple guys on that team that can be guilty of that. If you're swinging at pitches in the zone and swinging at hittable pitches, success is going to find itself. I'm not expecting Joey Gallo to turn into a 260 hitter overnight this season. That would be great. But if he even turns into a 225 hitter, that's some real progress. And we have to all take a step back and remember these guys are around our age. They haven't been in the league all that long. Nomar Mazara, it's only, what, his third full season, I think?
Fourth.
Well, I know he came up in 2016, so I think that's his third.
It was like a week into 2016.
Right, so it's coming up for him now, his fourth season, third season, whatever. And they're still young in this game, but when you're looking at not much else to be hopeful about for this team, there's more pressure on them for them to produce, because other than that, there's not a whole lot else to look forward to. So those guys taking a huge step, I don't see this team making a playoff run at all, but if they make a huge step, then at least the conversation becomes more interesting for a longer period of the season where we're going to be more interested in watching this team in August.
Can I make a bold prediction right here?
Yeah, go for it.
If Joey Gallo hits 225, he is the Rangers All-Star this season because he will hit over 50 bombs.
Okay, I can see that. We'll mark it down. We'll check it at the end.
Yes,
we'll check it at the halfway point.
Sounds good.
Let's talk about this team's outlook, because you've got the brand new ballpark opening next season. Ultimately, you would like to open the new ballpark with a team that's going to contend, and I don't see it.
I don't either.
I think 2021 is going to be the earliest that you're going to see this team contend, and part of it too is, and it goes to the Willie Calhoun conversation, because the detriment of going all in like they did in the early teens,
yes,
when you're making those World Series runs, is that
your farm goes away.
Your farm system is depleted. And part of the attempt with trades last year, whether it's Yu Darvish or whoever, is to bring in new guys. And when you bring in a Willie Calhoun, and it's a guy who you can't even get to make your major league roster, that's issues. And you saw guys like Yohander Mendez, who's one of your young guys and a guy you want to see him do stuff. And first, he wasn't playing that well before getting hurt. You're kind of wondering, where is this Rangers farm system at? What are you planning to do? The guys you got, I can't even name the guys who they got back in the Profar trade
so
this offseason.
We got Eli White, infielder, and then pitchers Brock Burke, Kyle Bird, and Yoel Espinal.
There you go.
Kyle Bird's like the higher trending guy there.
I can't tell you anything about those guys, which to me tells me we are years, multiple years away from this being a team that's going to do anything.
The best prospects in the Rangers system are projected 2021, 22, 23.
Yeah.
Like your Hans Krauses, your Julio Pablo Martinez, Leody Taveras, those guys, they're still in like high A. So it's going to be a couple of years for you to get those guys on the roster, yes. So it's not going to be this year. It's not going to be next year. Probably not even 21. We're looking at like 22, 23 to where the Rangers are a good team again.
Which is kind of strategic on their part, isn't it? Where
sure, absolutely.
This season, they're going to have people interested because it's the last season at Globe Life Park. People are going to come out there. They're opening the year against the Cubs. That's going to have a huge draw. And they're ending the year against the Yankees and Red Sox. And this whole year of nostalgia, just kind of like we've seen with the Mavs a little bit with Dirk. You know, the team's not in a playoff contention, but when you have that nostalgic factor of this could be it for Dirk, people are going to come out and try to see every home game they can.
Right.
And I know baseball, there's way more home games. That's a little different. Plus, the weather's a factor. And then even next year, people are going to be excited about the new stadium. People are going to want to come out there and see that. And so I think you guys are right, hit the nail right on the head, though, where I don't see this team being a playoff contender in 2020. I think they're pitching. Taylor Hearn's somebody who I'm really keeping my eye on.
Yes,
who they got in the Keone Kella trade, Pittsburgh. He's somebody who had some really good moments at spring training. Still some work on his slider. I've been reading just kind of reports on him. If he can really turn it around, they can build some pitching process. That's really where it starts. You mentioned the outfielders, absolutely. And they have some of the pitching or the position pieces in place if those guys can continue to develop. But getting that starting pitching and relief pitching from the farm system built up for the future, that's absolutely key for this team. Because we've seen, you know, look at the Astros, look at some of these other teams of late, the Cubs. Homegrown talents would put them over the top. And I don't know if the Rangers right now, as it stands right now in 2019, have that to be World Series contenders so soon. But if you can at least get the process rolling, that's just good news for Ranger fans.
That is why it was a little interesting to me. You sign a guy like Lance Lynn to a 3-year deal where it's like, where do you think you're going to be in 3 years? It's, you gave other guys 1-year deals, but that's just one to me where it's like, you kind of had a, we're not going to go all in this year. But you also had the John Daniels saying, we're not giving up in 2019.
So the way I look at like the Lance Lynn and the Mike Minor deals of the world is you sign those deals in hopes that those guys do perform. And so you can flip them at the deadline for more prospects.
Yep.
To be able to load up to, like I said, follow along that timeline of like 21, 22.
Before we get out of here, we got to talk about Taylor's visit to, was it at Globe Life Park?
It was, yeah. It was up there in the all-you-can-eat home run porch, yeah.
Dude, and I went to that thing, I believe, in the beginning of the 2017 season.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So you went, it's the media, it's like a tasting party.
Yeah, I went to this last year as well, and basically what they do is they have the media come out there. There's some TV stations out there, too, and they showcase all of the new merchandise they're going to have for the next season. They're going to put all the stuff on display, all the new bobbleheads, which was a sneaky takeaway for me. I'll touch on that in a second, that I really like the bobbleheads that are going to come out this year. But the main highlight of it is they bring out all the new ballpark food for people to try out, the media to try out. So they'll have samples of that. And it's really funny because I'm just sitting there like, man, I get paid to do this for a little bit just to sit here and eat free samples of food. It's great.
What was your favorite thing you tried that you recommend any fans who are getting out to the ballpark this year?
Okay, so I think my favorite thing that I tried was the vegan burger, I believe what it was. It was, and I'm not a vegan or anything, but it was actually really good.
Wait, what was in a vegan burger?
Oh man, I can't
was it
remember.
Like it was like a vegan burger patty?
Yeah, it was kind of like that. They had some fish tacos too that were pretty good. You know, of course, you have a lot of the kind of hamburger stuff that was really good as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't as crazy this year in the sense of like last year you had the dilly dog and the deep fried cinnamon roll. Everybody was just kind of like shocking on all the new stuff. But the main thing that people were drawn to this year was the foul pole, which I'm sure both of you.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, I'm sure both of you have seen that. The 2-pound chicken tender. I didn't get to see like a live, I guess live one's a funny way to put it, but a full-sized one until Evan Grant posted his picture. Then, yeah, saw it then, but If you haven't seen Evan Grant's picture with the foul pole, I suggest you check it out. And
they only bring out the 2-pound tender for the big dogs, not for Taylor Phillips.
Taylor Phillips
is a big dog.
Yeah, that's right. So I got the corner table. All the main people got the middle. But they had like samples of it, though.
And yeah.
Even though it looks weird and it looks like a crime against nature to see a chicken strip that big, it actually tasted pretty good.
I will tell you.
So you did taste it.
I did, yeah.
But you just got a little piece, right? They cut off a slice for you.
Is it like a normal chicken strip?
Pretty much, yeah. And they had some kind of barbecue sauce drizzled on it. Yeah, it was good. It was good. I don't know if that would be my go-to if I were going to go try something crazy there. I don't know about you guys. I still haven't had one of the boomsticks.
I've had a boomstick. I've split it with like 4 other people, but I've had one.
It feels like a chore, though, at a baseball game. Do you have to do that pregame, or do you do it during the course of the game?
My suggestion would be to do it pregame, but, you know, that's just me. It's $26 also.
I will tell you that I have horror stories when it comes to Rangers food.
Oh, no.
My wife at the time went out there a couple years ago, and we said, we're each going to pick one of the weird, wacky foods. And so she got the fried mac and cheese balls. Which is, it's just like a fried ball. It's got mac and cheese and brisket in it. And I got the cinnamon fries, which is, it's just like a
like funnel, churro, cake fries? Like
funnel cake fries. Okay. That's what it is. So we got funnel. It's just like a fry. Yeah. And we ate them both. The bad move was probably eating those both at the same time.
Right. Yeah. That one,
which
your stomach
led to
favors issues
for both of us.
Right.
But the time I went to get the boomstick, I went with a couple buddies. And I believe it was they did not have the chili. They did not have the chili to put on top. And so they were like, well, we can give you the boomstick, but we can't give you the chili. And so at the time we were like, well, we're going to try the boomstick. Okay, we'll get it. But then it ended up being just like a big hot dog with mustard and jalapenos. Yeah. And so if you're going to, I'll tell you this, 2 warnings. Take breaks between your weird Rangers food. Don't go all in at once. And number 2, you got to do the full experience. If they say, oh, we don't have this to put on, or we don't have this. Wait, go back another time. I feel like I was gypped on my boomstick experience.
Oh, Real quick, all of those items are great, but there is absolutely nothing like the garlic fries out in right and left field. That is my favorite Rangers food item. I've had it literally since I'm 5 years old going to that ballpark.
I do have the list real quickly, though, of some of the other stuff that was on there. Here's one that kind of caught my eye, the right field bacon bombs.
Ooh.
It was a glob of provolone cheese wrapped in a generous amount of bacon, fried and topped with barbecue sauce.
That sounds like something I'd eat.
And then another one, I did not try this because I'm actually allergic to part of it, but the red, white, and blue dog. And it was...
I've seen the commercial for that. Nah.
It was a spicy relish dyed red and blue, and it was just a hot dog and raw white onions, but people were kind of enamored with the red, white, and blue relish stuff. But
do you remember when green ketchup came out?
Yes.
Like when we were kids?
No.
Yep. It was great.
It was the craze, and I was excited about it, but now that I think about it, just dyeing food weird colors makes me a little queasy.
Yep, me too.
So I'm going to pass on, not a huge relish guy to begin with, but when you start dyeing it weird colors, not going to try it.
And then
I'm going to pass.
The other takeaway from it, the bobbleheads.
Yeah.
So Adrian Beltre, 3,000th hit bobblehead. They had the Gary Matthews Jr. catch. Juan Gonzalez bobblehead, a Pudge bobblehead, a Michael Young bobblehead, and a Josh Hamilton bobblehead.
Josh Hamilton bobblehead.
Yeah, so they're hitting all the greatest hits with the players there.
Globe Life Park Legends type thing?
Pretty much, yeah. It was kind of all the big names to come through there with the awards and everything.
Where's the Bobby Wilson bobblehead?
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Where's the Dylan G bobblehead?
Come on.
Who was the guy that made the team like 2 years ago after being in the minors?
Austin Bibbins Dirks.
Was it? I don't remember.
He was like a lifelong minor leaguer.
Yeah.
Oh, or the guy... Brandon Mann?
No, I'm thinking he's Bibbins Dirks is who
you're
thinking
of. Okay.
There's been a couple
Dirks,
lately of
like
random
the,
names. Yeah, right.
The grinding. So that's our Rangers discussion. Just real quick, I'm going to throw out my win prediction. I'll let y'all do the same.
Okay.
I'm going to go 67. I don't think they're any worse than last year. I don't think they're better. I don't think they're going to do anything better than they did last year. I give 67 wins.
I think I'm going to go 66. I'm going to go one lower than you because I just really don't have...
Like a Price is Right type thing are
I'm
we
just
playing
say
here?
If they go take the under if they're a little worse than that. I just don't know if this team's going to make that big of a jump because I think the bullpen pieces at best can keep you there, but no one really strikes me outside of Jose Leclerc as being a really solid option. I want to see the kind of moves that these offensive players can make, and if the starting pitching can just stay afloat. But they're in a pretty tough division as well, even with the Mariners punting on this season too.
I'm going to be optimistic here. I'm going to go 69-93.
Nice.
Thanks.
I wonder why you picked that number. That's going to close out our discussion on the 2019 Texas Rangers. I think that was fun for as bad as this team is going to be. I think if you want fun Rangers talk, two places to go. Either Can I Get a Podcast or check out Taylor Phillips on the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast.
Except when I stumbled over my words.
No, that actually was fun.
Oh, okay.
Like, Taylor and I were enjoying it.
Okay.
Yes. You did not.
I did not enjoy that,
but
no.
We were having fun.
Okay.
We're going to close out the podcast like we always do. It is the 24-second shot clock, and we're going to bring Taylor in here. He's never done this before.
Big
I know
fan,
you
though.
Said you've listened to the podcast.
Yes.
Taylor knows how this works. We don't even have to explain it.
But we'll explain it to the listeners. You get 24 seconds to talk about whatever you want, but when that buzzer goes off, you got to stop talking. We move on to the next person. Taylor, we'll let you get a little taste. Jeffrey and I will go first, but then we're coming to you.
All right.
So make sure you have your 24 seconds ready to go. I will go first here, and the reason we missed the podcast last week is my wife gave birth. Avery Donnay Gross, born March 18th at 5:19 p.m. Not had a lot of sleep over the past week, but it is great. I spent all last week at home. Coming back to work was probably the hardest thing. I will just say it is life-changing. It's incredible. It's amazing. And I like being here with you guys, but I'd rather be home.
She looks just like you, buddy.
Do you think so? I couldn't tell who she looks like.
I think she definitely looks like she has your face.
Okay.
But I think she has like Ashley's eyes and nose.
Good to know. I'm going to have to compare.
I thought she was trending on Twitter, but then I realized Avery Johnson got fired. So I was like, oh, cool. Chris's daughter's trending on Twitter.
It's definitely Avery Gross.
Yes, Avery Gross. That's why that's what it was trending. All right, Jeffrey, your 24 seconds begin now.
So I need to petition Major League Baseball to move opening day back like 2 days. We can't have opening day on the same day as the Sweet 16 starting. I think that's just simply unacceptable. The sports calendar needs to work in harmony, in sync, in order to get this right, because I think it's absolutely stupid that baseball is having their opening day on the same day as the Sweet 16.
I agree. I think all major sports, including college football and college basketball, should come together and make a calendar where
yes.
you have nothing that conflicts. Like, I think, personally, I think the Mavs should never play on the night of anything else that's significant.
Remember,
and they seem to be good
like,
about that.
Like, the NBA shouldn't play on Saturdays in the fall.
Remember when the opening day for the Rangers a couple seasons ago was the same night as the North Carolina Gonzaga
yes,
National Championship?
Because I was there.
Yeah. See, no one was watching that game, I'm sure, past the couple first innings, because then you had to watch the National Championship.
Jeffrey, this is like three straight podcasts with genius ideas coming from you. Billion-dollar ideas.
I need to start. I just need funding. If you're a rich person out there, let's go have lunch.
You want to throw your Venmo out there?
My Venmo? Yeah. I don't even know what my Venmo username is. I'm going to go with Jeffrey-Cooperstein. That's my Venmo.
Okay.
Well, if it's not, then congrats to Jeffrey-Cooperstein
right.
for getting all the money.
We'll come to Taylor for his 24-second shot clock. You can update that if it's not.
That is
correct.
What it is. That okay. is what it is. We're good.
Send all cash payments, any kind of investments there to invest in the Timothy Zane business.
Yes.
Taylor, why don't you take us off with your 24-second shot clock?
Okay, so one thing that's bothered me lately, and I'm starting to wonder if this is just a generational thing, people that bring food to their office or to their workplace or to school or whatever, I kind of wonder what people's MO here is, because I feel like we live in a day now where people have so many diet restrictions and they kind of want to stay on their diet or whatever, and people are starting to get upset whenever they bring this food and nobody eats it. So for people bringing food to workplaces, just stop, because nobody wants it.
You had a shot clock violation, Taylor.
I know.
You know,
I know.
We've said it on the podcast before. He's the offensive shot clock guy, where when you grab the offensive rebound.
I'm the 14-second shot clock guy.
He's so we'll use a little bit of his time. But I agree with you. And then you feel, when people bring food, you feel obligated to eat it, even though you don't really want it.
I didn't ask you to bring your food in,
yeah.
and you get mad at me for not eating it,
yes.
but you didn't tell me you were bringing it.
Oh,
so sometimes
okay.
it's like if you already ate breakfast and then you show up to work, there's a bunch of donuts there. Like, well, I just ate. And people get upset with you because, like, well, I made the effort to go buy the donuts. I didn't ask you to buy the donuts. So don't get mad at me.
I actually have a firsthand account of that. A couple weeks ago when I was in here on Saturday, Jean-Jacques Taylor did bring a nice of the very fancy donuts, like, you know, the ones that have like cereal on
yeah.
the top, or they're cut and they have some kind of cream or peanut butter in the middle. And I didn't want any, but he was guilt tripping us into eating them. And he said, I brought this box of donuts up here and nobody wants them.
Was this before the Cowboys pregame?
It was,
the Rams
yeah.
game? Yeah, I was up here with you. Those were good donuts.
And I finally had to say, dude, do you want, just if you'll shut up, I will eat a donut. Yeah. So I had to eat the donut. I didn't want the donut.
And you had to pose for a picture on Twitter. You became a marketing model for that.
I did. Unbeknownst to me, and I did not see any cash benefits from that.
Or donuts.
This is Can I Get a Podcast? A couple ways you can find us. Head on over to KESN1033.com. Go to the podcast tab. That's where you can find Can I Get a Podcast. Also, where you can find the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast with Taylor Phillips. Taylor, you get a little time to pub your podcast here. Just talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm changing it up a little bit from last year. It was more of a weekly podcast last year where I was kind of going game by game with the Rangers, and I realized pretty quickly this is going to be a long year, so I'm not going to do that game by game. So the plan is to do it every other week, make it bi-weekly, touch on the Rangers as well as like I would normally. We're going to have the same elements that you helped me record last year.
Of course.
Most interesting this week in Rangers baseball. I guess it's going to be this 2 weeks in Rangers baseball, but I want to focus also more on the national side of things with baseball as well. All the big storylines around the great game, because I feel like it's getting more and more underrepresented in media, and I want to make sure to keep this game alive and do my part in this on this website to have people interested here. So
to keep this game alive, like he's straight out of 1950.
I am.
I'm kidding.
I am. I'm pretty much I've accepted the fact that the NBA and the NFL are going to dominate our lifetimes. So I'm going to go ahead and try to keep baseball going.
Let's give Taylor Phillips some advice. The best way to spread the word about a podcast, Jeffrey, is by word of mouth.
That is correct.
So
yes, it is.
Who should people tell about the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast?
Well, you obviously need to tell your friends. You should tell your daughter that was just born.
Yes, I'll do that.
Hopefully she listens. You need to have your daughter tell her friends as well. And, like, her friend's parents and all those people. So, like, we get a big network. But, Taylor, do you know who the most important person to tell about this podcast is?
Who?
I'm asking. Do you know?
Most important? I figured I would just tell Tim Kalishaw because he knows a lot of people.
I mean,
now, that is
bad.
A good one.
That's not bad.
But the most important person to tell, and here's some free advice for you. You got to tell the ex-wife.
The ex-wife.
When people are listening, that's a great way to build bridges is... For the listeners, tell the ex-wife.
That's the only way.
Absolutely.
I'm Chris Gross. You can find me, Chris is Gross, on Twitter. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein, JCoopJR27, Taylor Phillips, T Phillips Sports. Send us your Rangers win predictions. If you're over 70, you will be blocked by me on Twitter. I guarantee you.
You will block?
I will block. And it's going to be an automatic.
So if I tweet you 70 and a half, you'll block me.
I'll block you.
Okay.
Yes, I will do that. But that's it for this episode of Can I Get a Podcast? We'll be back next week with another great episode.
Okay, thanks.